This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Muzzle. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Muzzle is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Muzzle is more than an Apple MDM. Muzzle is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.muzzle.com. That's business.muzzle.com. Thanks to Muzzle for sponsoring Apple at Work this week.
Welcome to Apple at Work, the podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host as always. This week on the show, second time on the show, Justin Etkin from Tropic. Justin, welcome back to Apple at Work.
Thanks, great to be here.
So we're going to have a little bit of an inside baseball show today, talking about like managing vendor relationships, managing renewals, because I do think they're, depending on the size of the organization, you either have no procurement process or you have one that drives, it's so complicated, it drives you nuts. And both are right. At times you can see procurement gets like really, really complicated, but there's a reason, because I think in a lot of organizations, whether big or small, you often are like spending money that you don't need to spend. You're paying for licenses you don't need. And whether, you know, if you're an Apple admin, you're probably managing with other SaaS vendors as well. And more, again, you're spending money you don't need and probably not getting the value out of the tools you have going. So, but just kick off, Justin, can you give us the broad high level overview of what Tropic does?
Yeah, absolutely. Tropic is an intelligence platform. We basically help companies save money on their software by leveraging a $18 billion proprietary data asset that we built. We know that software and IT in particular is a category with a ton of information asymmetry, hard to know what's fair to pay, hard to know which solutions to work with. And so we're trying to bring power back into the hands of buyers of technology and help them make good decisions, drive business outcomes, drive savings, and everything in between.
Well, I do think that's something that's, you know, the idea of this, these blanket user accounts and blanket spending. I don't think that companies realize probably how much money they're spending on tools that they're barely using. And you see this happen in organizations as they grow. Like you start out with like, I don't know, if you're a 5-person company, you start out with like, oh, we've got email and maybe we have Slack, and then we may have like Jira. It's like, okay, then. Well, we start to scale up the team. It's like, well, the marketing team wants Monday. Oh, okay. Well, this engineering team wants this. Well, the SRE team needs this. And all of a sudden, you've got 1,000 tools. You don't know how many user accounts you're paying. Sometimes you don't even know, where you have them. They're just getting put on a credit card. And I do think that is like a real thing where there are tools that are being like, you know, again, even a small team of five, again, a 5-person team using, you know, putting a Monday.com or a ClickUp subscription on a credit card, that can be like can just go for years. And then it's like, you know, are you paying for too many licenses? This is where procurement comes in and they help you here. And I hope the takeaway from this is I hope people come away with procurement is actually really, really good. And they're not there to gatekeep. They're there to just make sure you're maximizing the tools you have and also not spending too much. And they know how to negotiate way better on these things than maybe the IT person does. Is that a good explanation or good thought?
Yeah, totally. I think that what we see is that the role of procurement, and I say procurement as a capability as opposed to a person, because every company, whether you're 5 people, like you said, or 50,000 people, does procurement in some capacity, meaning thinking about what to buy, how much to pay, et cetera, et cetera. And at smaller organizations, we typically see this role and function of procurement falling on IT, falling on, you know, the intersection of finance and IT. And the perspective around procurement can be quite different. You know, for smaller companies that are focused on growth and scale, no one wants to be thinking about, oh, we need to consolidate these tools to save a couple $100s, or, oh, we need to really drive a negotiation to save, you know, a couple dollars on unit prices for these providers, because the focus is very much on growth and we don't want to constrain growth. Now, to your point, the scenario we can find ourselves in is over time with enough of that growth oriented mindset, we see the SaaS sprawl and increasingly the AI sprawl, where AI agents are working all over the places. And SaaS tools have been purchased across all these different functions and underutilized. And for many businesses, there comes that moment where it kind of, oh crap, we need to tighten the belt. We need to bring some control, some better visibility into this madness, because we're wasting now too much money on all this sprawl and all this wasted spend. So let's think about adjusting our stance and perspective around all of the purchasing that we're doing. And that's often when we come in as Tropic, once a company starts to evolve from that growth at all costs mindset to more efficient growth, or thinking about scalable growth and establishing the cost basis that makes sense.
Well, and I think one thing too is, it's as companies grow, like, none of these things, let me clarify, it's like they're not inherently wrong. Like what people are doing when they're buying new tools, like they're not inherently, they're, especially the companies in hyper growth phase, it's like, hey, get a tool, put it on a credit card, move fast, break things. And you do get to a place where you, again, that sustainable growth, it's not even like, oh, we're necessarily trying to cut costs. It's also, we just want to make sure like our threat landscape is minimized. And so, you know, I think that's, you know, from like, you know, if you're an organization that has compliance reporting, if you have a solid procurement process that can automatically proactively manage your various vendor relationships, when it comes time to compliance reporting, you have a plan in place. You're not having to start from scratch. You have a plan in place. I kind of, the way I explain, somebody was asking me who I've talked to this today, and I said, you probably hate this analogy. That Tropic is like Mint for your SaaS tools. You remember like the service Mint that like monitor your spending? It's sort of like that, but for all your SaaS tools, and not just the spending, but also the compliance and the technical sprawl to know, okay, you know, do we have exposure? If there's a breach, do we have exposure from that company? And that's what you really, because as you said, this oftentimes ends up being like people think, oh, procurement is an IT problem. It's like, no, this is actually, that's a whole subset of work that has to be done, but you have to have the right tools, because it was much easier when IT, your biggest expense was like, we paid Microsoft a bunch for licenses and we paid Dell a bunch of computers. For the longest time, that was IT spending, was like Microsoft for licensing and Dell or HP for computers. Well, now, again, there's a bajillion, you know, relationships. And this is like a small thing, but like, let's say you're using, oh, I have this email server. Oh, but they don't have their own email service. So, or this newsletter service, we have to do, you know, SendGrid, or, you know, we have all these other, you know, $10 to $15 things. You're like, okay, where's my exposure here?
Yeah, there's the sprawl and kind of expansive impact from a security risk standpoint, and compliance risk standpoint has really accelerated. And what we're particularly watching right now is when you throw AI into the mix, it becomes even more complicated, because a lot of the promise of AI tools is porting data from this system to that system, or making agentic actions based on data that we're pulling from your Salesforce instance or from your ERP instance. And that poses all kinds of security risks that, you know, we haven't really seen the full downsides of yet, but quickly the risks are expanding. I've been following very closely, like the Claude bot, Molt bot, mm-hmm. you know, whatever you want to call it right now, and the realization that there is massive security risk in like that approach to giving, you know, core access to a device and seeing, you know, what can happen, and like, and that's certainly, there's people that are very excited about pursuing that path in that direction, and I know my IT and security friends are really, really anxious about what that future holds in store and what it means for keeping track, inventorying all of these different solutions and the risk profile associated with each of them.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up CloudBot. There's it's changed names 10 times, you know, probably the time they release this as well. You're talking about unrecognized spend when you can spin up agents that can blow out costs, you know, hundreds of dollars an hour, you know, very, very easily. The case for a modern SaaS procurement platform makes a lot of sense. But now, again, you all integrate with a lot of your customers' existing tools. So again, Google Workspace, Okta, DocuSign, all this. What's the, you know, we have clients that are like, okay, we've got a problem with procurement. We need to kind of make sure that A, we're not spending too much money, and B, we just understand where all of our tools are. What's the integration like? If I sign up for Tropic today, I'm like, okay, I want to get this into Google Workspace. How difficult is that integration, and what do you unlock as soon as you connect?
Yeah, I think the first problem that we're often helping solve for our customers is this visibility issue. You know, because they purchased a bunch of tools over a year, many years across different credit cards, the inventorying of what are all the things that we have is step one. And, you know, typically IT has taken an approach to have a perspective on this, but given it's so decentralized, engineering's bought all these things, marketing's bought all these things, like it's very hard to have that unified view and visibility. So step one for us is we capture that inventory, whether it's integration with, you know, Google Sign-On so that we can pull all the logins that are happening across the organization, you know, leveraging a Google login page. Or are we hooking into the ERP and accounting system to pull what are all the tools that we're spending money on through QuickBooks and NetSuite or whatever it might be, so we can start to match, here's what the inventory, application inventory looks like, here's what the spend, where the spend is. Now we're starting to present a picture around all the systems and applications that might exist in the ecosystem. And then second is, now we need to understand the terms, contracts, end dates, start dates, amounts, things like that, because those are really what's going to govern the relationship and the decisions we can make around our technology stack. Because if you're locked into a 3-year agreement with, you know, your Salesforce instance, good luck trying to, you know, change that, navigate away from it, evolve it until that contract reaches its expiration. So like I said, we think first and foremost is the visibility and inventory so that we can start to inform decisions that we want to make around commercial structure, selection, and actual cost savings.
Well, now, from your pricing point of view, how are you all licensed for customers? So, if somebody wanted to sign up today, what kind of, you know, is it percent of savings? Is it based on the tools? How are you guys? How do you guys come in?
Yeah, we basically present a flat fee, and we attach a savings goal and target associated with that. Where 10 times out of 10 we're hitting that savings target, because we know that procurement at the end of the day is kind of a savings function. We want to justify cost of a solution with the multiple of savings that we can deliver as part of that solution. So we assess with a flat fee, and then the belief is all the savings that we are able to generate goes directly into the bottom line of the business. We don't want to take a percent of that. We want to establish our kind of hurdle and threshold for the savings that we can deliver, and then allow our customers to kind of participate in all the upside and all the savings beyond that.
Mm-hmm. No, it makes a lot of sense. It's one of those services that you probably don't realize how much you can save. Not even the cost savings. Then I think about the threat landscape of knowing where your vendors are, where their exposure is. And then can you easily, I was having to pull something recently. It was a very similar problem to what this is. It's like the amount of just digging you're having to do. It's like, oh, when do we sign that contract? When is that up for renewal? Are we getting the value out of that? I just think in the SaaS sprawl, I don't even know that sprawl is even the word. It's just like I'm just guessing. I would estimate that a lot of companies probably have 25% more licenses than they need. They probably have 25% more tools than they need, if not more, because it's way too easy to sign up for stuff that solves one problem when you have another tool that already solves it, and just not having those honest conversations of like, are we getting the real value out of this? I think that the beauty of a SaaS world, though, is it makes it much easier for a company like Tropic to give you those insights, because there's open APIs to all these companies. You can kind of come in and it's like, okay, let's have this honest conversation. Are we at risk on security? Are we overspending? Do we have overlap? I think the overlap is a huge thing.
The hardest thing and one of the biggest value props that we bring to the table today is that when you bought something, you might have a perspective on what overlap means. Like, you know, we're going to bring on Notion to solve X, Y, and Z use case. But like you said, one of the beauties of the software landscape is that iteration and feature development is constant. And the thing that's most challenging to keep track of is with these new releases, with these new enhancements and expansions, what is the new paradigm around overlapping capabilities? Slack releases canvases. Is that actually an overlap to Notion now? And is there an opportunity to consolidate between these two? Possibly, but that was not the case, you know, a year ago. And so we're trying to keep a very clear eye around, well, you know, everyone is, no one's static here. There's dynamic evolution around each of these products and capabilities. And how can we help keep a pulse on where those overlaps might exist based on the release that happened 3 weeks ago that might change the landscape for the tech stack that a company is using?
No, that's a great example. I've real-world use case there where a company that have some cyber insurance with had a separate company for that and then also had another company for like employee security training, phishing testing, all that. Well, this company bought another company and incorporated all that stuff into it. So I was able to let this vendor go. But that's the kind of stuff that you all are monitoring. Say, hey, you got overlap here. They bought somebody. They released a feature. It's 80% of what this company offers at 20% of the, you know, 20% of the cost. And I think that's what you just run into quite a bit is just not paying, because all these companies are always trying to expand their moat. So again, if you've, you know, like, oh, we've got even this, you're going to see this a big time with AI. We've got these five different AI tools. Well, this one has now can consolidate four of those into one. And you're absolutely going to see that very, very quickly here.
I think every organization that we're working with, in the office of the CFO, they are pushing for consolidation amongst tools, not net new tools. The sprawl around different applications, different logins has reached an apex where we're starting to see a lot of resistance to that we need this new thing for X, Y, and Z reason. Now, novel AI agents kind of falls in a different bucket, because the expectation with the AI solutions that are coming up that are natively built is that these are more kind of interactive agentic experience that are embedded or live within some of the systems of record. So there's kind of two paradigms at play, where the fatigue around screens and applications that are distinct and kind of best of breed is very much there, while the excitement around AI and agentic solutions that can help make existing teams more productive embedded in their existing tools is at an all-time high from a hype standpoint.
Yeah, I'm excited here. Like, I think there's a lot of cool things that can happen. I was, for example, was complaining about one of my vendors, and I just didn't feel like their support was very good. Looking at hiring a position for someone that's retiring, and there's a whole thing. And it's like, and I kind of even had thought, you know, if their support was better, I could probably get away with a part-time person. Well, that's the beauty of AI, is I think their support's, so many of these things are complications of not knowing the system, which I think AI is going to very much democratize the use of said system. And yeah, well, so it's just interesting. But again, I've seen this report. It was like, oh, we're going to spin up a SaaS tool to do this. You're going to end up with like a bunch of different AI functionality. But again, that's the problem will occur, and Tropic will be there to help the customers on the back end.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the one, I don't know if you're seeing this trend as well, but one of the biggest things that we're seeing right now is this notion of the AI tax, where the existing solutions that have been historically thought of as SaaS providers are also trying to very rapidly AI-fy themselves. And the way that they're accomplishing that is embedding new AI capabilities into what was previously existing kind of suites of products and bundles. I think the example that is most kind of acute and familiar is something like Slack, where Slack had an existing set of packages and bundles, none of which included AI. And in the last several months, they basically rebundled all of their packages and deprecated existing suites, introduced new packages, and those new packages all had AI incorporated and bundled into their offering. And now at renewal, when a customer is trying to renew on their existing suite of package, they don't have the option to do so. They're being forced to migrate, to upgrade into these new bundles, these new packages that Slack has introduced. And as part of that, pay the AI tax and the uplift that they're claiming is tied to the increased benefit of the AI capabilities that are now bundled within this new set of features. And so we're seeing a lot of like the choice being removed from the hands of customers around, do I want the AI offering or do I not? And being forced to migrate and upgrade into this AI-centric solution at a pretty substantial premium, sometimes like 40, 50, 100% uplift from what they were paying previously.
Yeah, and that's frustrating, because it's like if you're being forced into features you might not necessarily want, but that's also just how the market's moving. And it's one of those that's when you have to have a hard look and be like, you know, is if, again, Slack's your example. It's like, are we maximizing our use of Slack? Is
could something else simpler be better? Like, you know, just you, that's when you get those renewals, that's when it's time to have those kind of honest conversations. Because again, that's a great example of like, you know, you'd simply just be fine renewing, but then they're again, all these companies, they want to raise their net dollar retention. So they're coming up with, they got to get you to use more and more and more of the service. So yeah.
In particular, they're looking for things that they can point to the street specifically tied to AI growth. You know, anyone's following the markets right now is seeing the like decline of every SaaS stock that's out there because the markets are waiting for the big AI benefits to occur. And so what we're seeing with these types of bundling solutions is forcing in AI capabilities, claiming on their you know financial statements that the growth is tied to AI across their product suite. But the reality is those are forced upgrades.
They just bundled in. It's like whether they're using it or not. It's like, tells all this time. Justin, this has been a great conversation. We'll have a link in the show notes to learn more about specifically the IT resources that Tropic has. There's a great section on the website just to kind of walk through the value there and the potential savings per employee. It's pretty significant. So if you're an organization, certainly if you're starting to think about if you're coming up on renewals, it's a good time to kind of take a step back and say, hey, do we have a plan in place to manage here? So again, Justin, thanks for taking the time to chat, and we'll talk to everybody next week.
Thank you so much for having me.